broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Wow, you caught me unawares, unready. Welcome into the clubhouse. Ben, it's going to be a fabulous day. Mostly sunny skies, isolated showers, Windward and Mauka. The winds are out of the north to northeast, 10 to 15 miles per hour. The high today about 83 degrees. If you're on the south shore, it'll probably feel a little bit hotter, but those winds are going to cool us off. That's the good news. Easterlies tomorrow, 5 to 15, then we're back to the variable winds. Not quite as long. We'll get some northeasterlies back on Tuesday and maybe a little bit of rain. If you'd like to play a round of golf today, Poipu Bay. There's an 1140 and 1150, and some Hollywood types with an NFL player are kind of strolling around, having a good time. Kiahuna has a 948, too. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, an 836, a 918. Bayview has a 920. Makaha East, 851. Wailea Gold, 1150. Emerald, 1240. And the Blue Course, a 930. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and First Tee Hawaii, HSJGA. Okay, the junior golfers 7 through 14 from across the state are competing this weekend, today and tomorrow, at Maui Nui Golf Club. And one of those contestants is Leo Saito. And I bring up Leo. He's 11 now. But when he was 10 in 21, he qualified for the drive chip putt at Augusta National, and he's going. He's one of 80 kids that will be in the drive chip putt tournament at Augusta National. Congratulations, Leo Saito. His mom, he's the first boy, by the way, first child from Hawaii to qualify for the event. He trains at Hilo Municipal, and let's get back to his mom. She says she thinks it's Tiger's hat that he wears that gives him his success. I think it's perseverance and dedication, because that's what it takes. You know, when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you're on the golf course all the time, that's dedication. All right, we've got a great show for you lined up. We've got Nick Lees calling in from England, Ed Cowan, the president of the Arizona Golf Association, partnering in the all-new and expanded Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open. Kate Tempesta is the creator of Birdie Basics, and she'll be on. But starting us off is Eamon Lynch, senior writer, Golf Week, and commentator, Golf Channel. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Eamon Lynch, senior writer, Golf Week, and occasional co-host on Golf Channel. That is Golf Today. Check it out. It's a great show. Welcome into the clubhouse. Hi, Eamon. Can you hear me?
I assume you're enjoying much better weather than I am.
Pray tell, where are you?
I'm actually at Bay Hill in Orlando, but it's a little hot and steamy here. We don't get the nice Hawaiian winds that I'm accustomed to out there.
Yes, the lovely Hawaiian winds, yes. Okay, so you're at API, Arnold Palmer Invitational, where the greens are fast. I think Taylor Gooch said something like, I don't want to go play again. we're not watching a birdie fest like we have earlier this year. John Rahm said during the Pro-Am, the greens were receptive. You could stop long irons very, very easily. Short irons were spinning back. The greens weren't that fast. Wow, things have changed. How do they do that? Eamon, how do they make it like on the Pro-Am on Wednesday, a lovely day, everybody's playing, having fun, and then on Thursday, it's like glass?
Well, on Wednesday, most of the guys out there are chops like us who are kind of on their way to shooting 90. So I guess they have to be a little easier on Wednesday, but the weather kind of takes care of it, and once they kind of cut them and roll them, I noticed Rory McIlroy said last night that the greens to him didn't feel like late Friday greens, they felt like late Sunday greens, which isn't necessarily a compliment if you are the superintendent, because it's telling you that the greens are, that they're getting baked out, that they feel kind of as though there isn't a lot of grass right there, that it's kind of beaten up by spikes during the course of the day. And, you know, someone jokingly said to Rory after his round, you know, Victor Hovland had 23 putts today, and he just kind of laughed and said, let me know how he does tomorrow.
Right.
Because he knows this is going to get tougher and tougher. And in a way, that kind of, for guys who aren't necessarily the best putters, guys who are middle-of-the-pack putters, that's maybe actually a good thing, because it kind of drags the better putters down to the middle-of-the-pack level if the greens are a little kind of demanding that way.
Okay. All right. And it doesn't, you know, if you're a middle-of-the-road putter, doesn't it hurt you even more? I mean, Kevin Na walked away with an 81?
Yeah, a guy who shoots 81 here isn't probably doing it because of what happens on the greens. It's rough out there. It's particularly juicy this year. And it was noticeable, even walking around in the pro-am and the practice rounds, what used to be kind of shaved areas off the sides of the greens have all disappeared this year. The rough is just thick and juicy right beside the green. So, you know, I guess Rory was also complaining earlier in the week that kind of takes away the advantage of the good chippers versus the bad chippers, because it forces everyone to kind of play the same kind of shot. And it's a lot of guesswork when you're playing out of 3-inch, 4-inch rough right behind the green like that. And in a way, if you get spotty greens later in the day, it's probably a similar effect. You know, the bumps, the scrape marks, the heat, the baking out of the greens. It's not going to be good for anyone at any level come later in the day.
Now, why would they want to do that? Couldn't they just, you know, add a little water at night, do something?
And I'm sure they possibly did do that overnight as well, but ultimately it's the challenge they present out here, and you tend to see that a lot at a lot of courses. You even tend to see it in major championships. As the week wears on, the course tends to get more and more demanding to separate the wheat from the chaff, as it were, at the end of the week. But it's wear and tear as much as anything. It's very hard to maintain pristine course conditions when you've had 150 guys, or 120 is the case here, play it over 2 days, and then you've got another 70-odd playing it today. So it's really hard to present a pristine course come Sunday afternoon, but that's the same every week, and these guys are prepared for that.
True. You know, I don't feel sorry for them. and I was just thinking that, you know, when you're coming out of a juicy rough and you know you're going to have to put some oomph into it to get it out of that rough, and then knowing that you're going on to the glass surface, trying to make sure that you get that's talent, okay? And as you said, the you know, great is being separated from very good. And if you're having a very good week, you're probably not going to do that well. If you're having a great week, good for you. Victor Hovland, you know, yesterday was having a great round. And as Rory said, we'll see. Now, you write for Golf Week. This is Eamon Lynch, okay? And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I love your commentary. I enjoy you thoroughly. Not just in the writing, but also in, you know, when you're on television, you do a fantastic job, and I'm not just, you know, giving you strokes. when it comes to your writing, you wrote about how a lot of guys are talking about Phil Mickelson at Bay Hill. Tell us what's the conversation like?
I'm guessing there are a lot of golfers out here who've Googled the German word Schadenfreude over the last couple of weeks, because it's really been quite striking. If you remember back, Danielle, you've been doing this show for a long time. You remember what it was like when Tiger became a tabloid fixture more than a decade ago, for what were personal shortcomings. But there were a lot of players who were willing to rally around Tiger, either saying, you know, this is a private matter, it's nobody's business. But Tiger had friends who were willing to stick up for him in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite striking that Phil Mickelson does not. Not one. Not a single player has defended him and just Rory threw him a bone, I guess it was, the other day by softening the comments and said, you know, everyone should have a second chance and everyone makes mistakes. That's assuming that Phil thinks he made a mistake in his comments. You know, Phil's always been kind of a slightly polarizing character, I guess, both for fans and particularly in the locker room. And what you see over the last couple of weeks is a number of guys who are eager to share stories that cast Phil in most unflattering light possible. And some of those stories are particularly old. Some of them are not. But when you are a polarizing guy, as Phil has been, even in practice rounds and trash talking and his this kind of burning desire he always seems to have to try to be the smartest guy in the room, it rubs people the wrong way. And I think what you're seeing now, particularly in the last couple of weeks, is it's not so much I'm surprised by the criticism of Phil. What's striking is the absolute absence of defenders of Phil.
Yeah, I imagine, you know, Schadenfreude is a great word, comeuppance, you know, you're... you're getting yours. So I can see what you're saying. I hear that he's not that popular in the locker room because of his, you know, his super ego.
Yeah.
So in the wake of the controversial comments, now we need to separate this because remember when obnoxious greed was like, oh my goodness, he said obnoxious greed about the reach.
Yeah,
that's like we've all forgotten that, you know. He upped the comments terribly, and we know what that was. But what do you think of all these guys? He's losing everybody. I know about Callaway, and he's just all of his people are ditching him because of his comments about Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian people that, you know, he apologized to them. It's like apologies to the Saudis. Interesting, you know, what is your take on Phil, the Saudis, and Greg Norman?
I think the sponsors have dropped Phil for reasons, I think, that are only partially related to the comment he made. And there are a lot of people who will tell you this is outrageous, Phil is being cancelled because he said mean things about the Saudis. That's nonsense. What Phil said is that he is fully cognizant of the atrocities the Saudi government does, completely aware of them, and he's okay with overlooking it if it gives him leverage over the PGA Tour,
yes,
which is just moral bankruptcy. That sponsors running away from. And the sponsors are also fearful of what comes out next. I mean, there's Alan Chipnuck's book on Phil that's coming this summer. Billy Walters, who went to prison in the insider trading case that Phil Mickelson was tangentially involved in, he's also got a book coming out this summer. And when it's kind of an open season, even in the locker room, on Phil, these sponsors realize, well, it's probably not going to be a good year. So that's kind of why they're all moving away. And I think what's striking is the number of people, and you even saw it with Rory the other day, it's this idea that Phil has made a mistake and wishes to kind of make his way back into the good graces, which there's no evidence that Phil thinks he's made a mistake. Phil has very clearly chosen sides, and Phil has chosen sides with the Saudi League. And that was becoming clear over months because Phil was peddling their talking, going all the way back to even a podcast he did with the great Gary Williams a few months ago, when he started talking about the percentage of revenue that the tour gives players, which was not only entirely inaccurate, the number he was given, but it was the same talking point being circulated by the Saudis for months. Mm. And whenever Phil made his public statement, which has been marketed as an apology last week, he reserved his most fulsome apology for the only people he told the truth about, which was the Saudis. And that also kind of indicated where Phil is in all of this. And this is something, he's going down a road the sponsors don't want to be allowed to ride on, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in case you folks, you know, some of the headlines that Eamon has written, the Saudi-bound golfers brush off politics, put stain on being stooges, will be harder to shake. Okay. That got 3,800 shares. All right? The Saudis aren't paying players for silence. We must listen for the lies, was another one from Eamon. 8.1 thousand shares. Then this one. Phil Mickelson cares about rights, just not the rights of the abused by his Saudi pals. That got 40,000 shares. Were you surprised at how many people shared that?
It's always kind of hard to tell stuff like that, Danielle, because sometimes the shares are... I haven't quite understood how that metric works on the website, because it's not necessarily totally related to the amount of readership a story gets. Some people fancy sharing something more than other stories, but I guess still being in headlines, there's always an audience for people who want to talk about Phil. And it's not necessarily always an audience that particularly cares for Phil. Sometimes, like everything else, there's always an audience that are eager for hostile content. But it's amazing that Phil does, even at 52, remain so relevant to the public conversation here. And, you know, every time I write one of those things, I always end up getting messages from some half-wits telling me it's time to stop writing about Phil, which my general response is, maybe it's time for you to stop reading it. But yeah, he's definitely a polarizing character, and this is a particularly polarizing story. I think a lot of people don't necessarily get or want to get the ins and outs of the power politics and what it means about Saudis and human rights and everything like that. It gets into the weeds in that kind of conversation. But what they do understand, the perception, and this is what the players really understand, is that Phil is attempting to essentially burn down the tour that has enriched him over the years, which is not to say he has all of that money left, but there is clearly a perception among the players that, and you've seen it in some of the really pointed criticism, because players get fined on the PGA Tour if they are publicly critical of their peers. That's why you tend to hear them talk like a college of cardinals who just saying things about each other in public. But you saw it in the last few weeks when phrases like idiotic and ignorant and selfish and narcissistic are being used by other players directly referring to Phil. I don't imagine those people are going to get fined, but he's no less polarizing at 52 than he was years before that.
Yeah. Okay, let's when you write about Tiger Woods, do you get more reaction to the story than you do writing about Phil?
It always depends entirely upon what the story is. There's an audience for both. It's like everything else. You know, there's fairly feverish commentary on both of them as well. Both have their fairly diehard supporters, and both have their fairly diehard critics, and neither of them is likely to be persuaded by content on the other. So I tend not to worry about what the reaction is too much, because then you can't really write for either audience. I mean, I have the luxury of writing an opinion column, so I don't even really worry what the player's opinion is. I only have to worry about my own and defend my own opinion. And then eventually people can like it or not like it. That's really, I suppose it's kind of immaterial.
It
after
is.
The fact.
Yes. It is immaterial. And I'm going to the Player Impact Program because, of course, Tiger Woods won the PGA Tour's first annual Player Impact Program. I wasn't surprised. And a lot of people weren't either. But then there was also the other side, which we seem to be polarized regardless. It's either one side or the other side. The other side was like, he hasn't hit a shot at all. You know, he walked the course, Charlie played, blah, blah, blah. What your reaction to Tiger winning the $8 million?
The Player Impact Program is entirely unrelated to whether or not Tiger gets on the golf course for the rest of his life, because it's designed with various confusing metrics to reward people based on the level of fan engagement. And I think it was confused early on by a lot of people who assumed it was just simply a social media play. And it wasn't. It talks about mentions in all forms of media, which is why, you know, Bubba Watson, he brought out a book, he got into the top 10, and it was kind of surprising for some people. It's not simply what you do on social media. And in Tiger's case, he's always going to be the biggest name in this game. in probably for the rest of his life. I mean, you don't see anyone else coming up who moves the needle in the way Tiger does.
Yeah.
And a lot of criticism of it, and when I first wrote the story that revealed the existence of the Fair Impact Program probably 11 months ago, there was a lot of kind of befuddlement, the idea that this would even exist. And it obviously exists for two reasons. One is to try to guarantee money to top players in a world where the Saudis were offering players guaranteed money to leave. And this was a means by which money could be given to the most influential players, regardless of how they perform on the golf course. And the other part of it is there isn't a business out there that does not incentivize its most valuable employees. And it's not always easy to quantify what the value is they add. And particularly in golf, you could say the same. I mean, you look at a guy like, let's say, a Ricky Fowler, for instance, who surprisingly didn't actually make the top 10 in the Fair Impact standing. But if Ricky Fowler sells tickets, people wanted to go to an event and bring their kids because Ricky Fowler is in the field, you could probably make an argument that if Ricky Fowler misses the cut, he's lost money that week. But should he lose money that week because he has added value to the tournament, he's added revenue to the tournament. So it's never necessarily a clear black and white line. Golfers have always lived on this myth that they eat what they kill. And it's always been nonsense because they've always had sponsors who pay them regardless of whether they're slumping or playing well. And to me, this is just, it's the economic reality that it reflects on the PGA Tour. It's become an easy target for people to kick around for the fact that it doesn't involve actual performance on the golf course, but it makes business sense if you're a PGA Tour executive.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Tiger Woods gets on the front page of newspapers around the world. Tiger Woods is included in the evening news, for what that's worth, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, all of them, CNN. He's always mentioned if something happens about Tiger Woods. In fact, I was in high school. I've never come across this word before, so I may be mispronouncing it. Please correct me. Cynosure. The center of attention is the definition. Do you know what the sentence was to describe what that word means? At the golf tournament, Tiger Woods was the cynosure of reporters and fans alike. And I'm like, Tiger Woods, would they put any other name in there? No, but everybody knows Tiger Woods. And Player Impact, the fact that he is Tiger Woods, his name, people go, huh? What? You know, everybody stops and wants to hear it. It's just a matter of fact. And, you know, you can argue, is Tiger or Jack the best player in golf to now? And what would your answer be?
Yeah, I mean, I've stood on tournaments where, you know, I might be out on the driving range watching some player hit, and you can hear the rumble begin in a distant area. And then it just builds and builds and builds. You know who it is. You know where he's moving. You can tell where he is on the property because that's where the murmurs are. That's where the shouts of the Tiger are. That's where the cheers are, the applause for merely seeing him. And you know when Tiger is on the move, even before he's actually teed off. If he's just moving around the property, you know where he is. That doesn't happen with anyone else. You'll hear a lot of shouts for, say, a Rory or a Jordan Spieth. Less so for other guys, but you know you'll hear them as they're a little bit closer. But you knew when Tiger had left the locker room or gotten out of a car on property, and not just with anyone else out here. And you won't find and have not seen a single player who can credibly argue that Tiger doesn't deserve that. But yeah, he may not have hit a single shot in an official tour event last year, and that $8 million is equivalent to winning about 6 PGA Tour events. But none of these guys are in a position to argue that Tiger doesn't deserve it because he's enriched every single one of them because their name, their brand, their fan engagement is not going to get anyone anywhere.
Yep. It's wonderful talking with you. I also really enjoyed the story. I didn't know very much about him. He may eventually lead Europe's Ryder Cup hopes, but his rising star is getting a PGA Tour tutorial. Nikolai Højgaard young man getting the American experience. Thank you for that story, because I don't think, and pronounce his name for me correctly.
Højgaard.
Højgaard. See, we're learning. So now we know. Nikolai Højgaard. Everybody, pay attention. I thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a wonderful 20 minutes with you. Eamon Lynch is, he's actually, would you call yourself a senior writer or the opinion columnist for Golf Week?
Oh, you get, I can cause much worse than anyone is going to call me in terms of a job title, Danielle. So I defer to you on that.
Thank you for being on the show. He's also occasionally the co-host on Golf Today, Golf Channel. Always a good listen. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. Ed Gowan is joining us next. He's the executive director, president. Aloha, excuse me, I'm back in Hawaii. The Arizona Golf Association, partner in the all-new and expanded Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open. Big money there. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
The Arizona Golf Association has been connecting people to the game since 1923. I couldn't help but think, who started the association? There wasn't much in Arizona back in 1923, at least not to my mind. I mean, I don't know. Ed Gowan does, executive director of the Arizona Golf Association, and now partner in the all-new and expanded Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ed.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Nice to be with you.
So, 1923. How many people were together creating the association?
Just a few at Phoenix Country Club. And the association was essentially a group to host the Arizona Amateur up through the late 50s, early 60s when it started to expand. That's when people started moving in. So in the beginning, it was just a site for a tournament. And the principal behind it was a guy named Bob Goldwater. And you might know that name, you
yes.
might not, but he was quite a good amateur. He was a running mate and did vaudeville with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, brought all the Hollywood people over to Arizona during the winter for golf, and that was really the beginning of golf in Arizona. So we have a little bit of history, and Bob Goldwater was at the center of it.
Wow, that is fantastic. Those are some names to be running with. And also, you guys put on a lot of tournaments. Interesting, like tomorrow at Toca Sticks in Mesa, you've got the AZ Under 30 Club fun social stroke play event open to men and women 18 to 30. And then on March 20th is the Get Your Golf On 9 and Wine at Bear Creek. That's great. These are fun.
Yeah, we have all sorts of events. Golf for everybody, any way you want it. You can be competitive or you can just have fun and go play a new course and meet new people.
That's wonderful. Black History Month was celebrated, and I didn't know about the Desert Mashie Golf Club. Tell us about it.
Well, Desert Mashie started in the late 40s, I believe. And as a black group, they weren't welcome in a lot of places. But in Arizona, we've primarily been a public state forever. So there was always a place for them. And we have a Mexican-American golf group as well, who kind of hung together for a while. And then in recent times, they've melded into the community. But the Desert Mashies have been special. They have created scholarships for youth. They've reached out, and they were part of a group throughout the West Coast, and they're a very, very strong group. They're active, and we honored them by putting them in our Hall of Fame last year. So it's been a long time coming, but, you know, golf is something for everybody.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. They provided instruction and clinics for members, organized competition for members, promoted the golf program for youth, better public relations in the total golf community, and promoted a program for women, which takes us to the inaugural Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open and Pro-Am set for May 1st through the 5th, 2022. This is so exciting. I've gone to Marilyn Smith's fundraiser once, and I've always covered her events because she works so hard to generate the money to give scholarships to young women golfers going into college from high school. And so dedicated. I mean, I saw her out in the Arizona sun. It felt like the tentacles of the sun were tearing my skin off. She was in a golf cart going from one group to another group to another group, saying hello, making sure they were having a good time during the tournament. Marilyn was an amazing woman, and I miss her. So how did this all come about, the inaugural Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open and Pro-Am?
Well, I was wondering how somebody in Hawaii would want to talk about Marilyn Smith, but I'm glad you'd been here. Well, when she passed, the LPGA was going to follow through, but they took their Founders Cup tournament away. And with that, away went the scholarship fundraiser. And Marilyn would raise between $75,000 and $150,000. Now, Debbie Waitkus has taken over. She helped Marilyn run the event. And now we've gotten together. And from our standpoint as Arizona Golf, we like competitive golf. And so we're going to support the fundraiser for charity. But on the other hand, we're also going to have 144 players in the tournament, with 100 playing at scratch for a fairly sizable purse, probably in excess of $50,000. And then we're going to have a senior division, which is made up of two partner teams. They're going to play scramble and better ball, with some of the Hall of Fame players coming in and LPGA players who aren't very active anymore, but they're going to come back and support Marilyn and support the event. And we have a good purse for them too. So it's just about women's golf and making sure that Arizona is at the forefront of promoting women's golf throughout the country.
Wow, that is so exciting. I mean, a $50,000 purse for the top female golfers from across the country. I mean, we could from Hawaii. There are a lot of very competitive women. And now what do you need to have for a handicap to be able to play in this inaugural Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open?
Well, we have a fairly large list of exemptions for people who have played LPGA. And beyond that, we're going to have qualifiers the day before the Pro-Am. And those are both for teams of seniors as well as for individual golfers, two separate ones. The senior purse is likely to be between $40,000 and $50,000 for 20 teams.
Wow.
So that's kind of exciting and gives them something to play for. There aren't many opportunities for the senior women these days, and we want to help start that and get attention for that as well. But when it comes to the younger players and those who really think they can still play, the Longbow Golf Club where we're playing is a fair but very difficult test, little bit of desert golf. And if a young lady thinks she can play, we're going to give them a chance to find out.
So we have an event, the Jenny K. It is definitely an amateur event. Jenny K. was the mayor's wife, Mayor Wilson, and she started it at Mid-Pacific Country Club back in the 50s. And it's, you know, a lot of these young women who have played in the Jenny K as amateurs have gone on to play professionally. Michelle Wee West played there. I think she was 11 and did very nicely. She won. So it's very exciting to see this tournament, not just for professionals, but also for the amateurs. So what they do at the Jenny K is they split it up into flights. Depending on your handicap, there are E, you know, D, we call them, we go by A, B, C, D, E flights. And that's why I was curious if there's room for people who aren't that good but could play in separate flights.
No, we're not going to have any flights. This is all run like a tour event.
Okay.
And my time, I spent 8 years with the LPGA, late 70s, early 80s, and we had a number of tournaments in Hawaii. And so I'd invite anybody who thinks they can really play with the best to come find out.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's a three-day, 54-hole open division teeing off Tuesday, May 3rd, 104 players playing three rounds each. At the same time, there'll be the 40-player senior division featuring 22-person teams made up of the Legends Tour, love the Legends Tour, and the former LPGA Tour professionals. They'll play a two-day, 36-hole scramble and four-ball format. The minimum $50,000 purse will be divided as follows: 70% going to the open division, 30% going to the senior division.
Let me interrupt. That's not quite right.
Oh, I got this.
That's not quite right.
It must have changed.
The total purse will be closer to $100,000.
Wow. Okay.
With $50,000 for the, we're looking to do $50,000 and $40,000 for the teams. You know, it depends how much sponsorship money we can raise, but our target is a $90,000 total purse. I don't know that we can guarantee we'll get there, but I think we'll get close.
Absolutely.
And, you know, first year of any event, it just you just try really hard to hit your goals, and if we don't hit it this year, we'll hit them next year.
Wonderful. Now, the Pro-Am, the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am, that's going to be held on the Monday before the tournament?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm just going off an info sheet that I got, you know, telling you, sorry, I'm so glad things have gotten bigger. And the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Fund, of course, as I mentioned, goes to provide scholarships to a female high school senior. Many, I think it's five a year, are given scholarships, planning to play golf at an accredited college or university in the United States. And the goal of the Pro-Am is to fund the $5,000 scholarships for the young female golfers. Teams who'd like to play in this is teams can be reserved for a minimum of $1,200, and you just go and register at the azgolf.org/azwomensopen. So that's azgolf.org/azwomensopen. On Sunday, they're going to have the Sunday tea. See, I talk about this every year, Ed, about Marilyn Smith's event. And I'm really excited that this is happening. Love her very much. Always in my heart. I thank you. Is there something else I should be mentioning?
Oh, I think you have it almost as much as I know. So I'm so happy that you played. We intend to make this a very special event every year. Debbie Waitkus is in the middle of promoting it. She's promoting the Pro-Am side. We have all the expertise to run the open side, and we're looking forward to a great week
It's going to be a great
week. In Maryland's name.
Yes. And Longbow, who manages that?
It's managed by a fellow named, owned by a fellow named Bob McNichols, who happens to be president of the Arizona Golf Association. So that helps a lot when you have somebody on your board who cares as much about golf as you do, and that's very special.
That's wonderful. Ed Gowan, Executive Director, Arizona Golf Association, partner now in the all-new and expanded Marilyn Smith Arizona Women's Open. It's for professionals, for amateurs, and for folks who just want to help Marilyn Smith raise the money for the scholarships. Of course, Marilyn's not with us, but she certainly is in our hearts. Thank you for being on the show.
Danielle, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Aloha. We're going to talk with Kate Tempesta, creator of Birdie Basics, after we take a trip down memory lane with our sponsors. But I'm going to interrupt the sponsors in just a moment. But let's start it off.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
All right, we have something for you. It's a Pitch Fix 2.0. It is so cool. In fact, we're going to give you two. One for you and one for your best friend, you know, whomever that might be. So you can say, here, or you can keep it. You know, I'm not going to make sure that you give it away. And all you have to be is the ninth caller. And the number is 808-545-1111. 545-1111. And of course, you can call from anywhere in the country. 808-545-1111.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I'm so excited to see all the phone calls. Thank you very much. I think we have, Nani, do we have our winner? We do have our winner? Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we have our winner and we'll give something away next week, too. Kate Tempesta, creator Birdie Basics, is with us. Welcome into the clubhouse, Kate.
Thanks for having me, Danielle. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure having you. Before we dive into what Birdie Basics is, I'm curious, because kids are your target group. What stops adults from learning the way the kids play and learn?
You know, they continue to wear the adult hat when they are working with this age group, and they project, you know, their 42, 52, 50, whatever years of experience on them. And you know, forgetting that the childhood serves a purpose and play is a driving force of how children learn, and it's not a race to get through. And, you know, I think if we can keep those things in mind, we can do a better job. But I don't think the vast majority of adults think like that.
So we need to just let them have fun, and in the process, yeah, they're going to learn.
Yeah, that's, you know, fun is a very broad topic. So, you know, you can deliver fun for a six-year-old that's not fun for a four-year-old. So it's really understanding, like, developmental milestones and what is fun for each particular milestone, right? Like, if you're over-challenging a child that's a four-year-old, that's not going to be fun. It might be all the bells and whistles and games in the world, but if you're not taking into consideration the whole child and where they really are and so many other domains of their development, that's going to turn into maybe an over-challenge, which is not going to be fun. Yeah. So fun is, I think, too broad of a topic.
Okay, Birdie Basics is a story-driven golf program for ages 3 through 6, using the power of play and their lovable mascot, Birdie. All of the fun adventures young children will fall in love with golf is the whole hope there. And, of course, licensing is currently available to golf facilities and to schools. Tell us how you developed the program.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I spent 10 years in a preschool as a creative movement teacher, where I developed a curriculum and ran it for 10 years. And in that time, I became a golf professional and quickly realized in 2007 that there was a really missing link to bridging the gap between how young children are, how we know as educators, as an early childhood educator, how they learn and how it's typically delivered. And, you know, in addition to waiting till they're 8 to teach them the game of golf. And so what I did is I started creating programming for the school that I was at, and that just took off. I was in New York. And so over the next 14 years, you know, we served upwards of 1,400 children ages 3 to 6 in Manhattan in the most unique spaces. And so over time, you know, developing the curriculum, I hired a lot more coaches and then started licensing it to other facilities so that they could bring the same success, the same stories, the same play-based approach to their kids.
So this is not about the perfect grip. It's not about the proper weight shift. Tell us about that.
It's not, but, you know, all of that said, like, we do have a language that we speak to young children, and we guide them through the fundamentals, and we call them birdieisms. And birdieisms are these metaphors that are visually represented on, you know, a big flashcard, and it makes sense to children. So things like spine angle and hinging at the hips don't make sense, but if you tell them a story that, hey, we're going to bow to the king of the jungle, and you show them a picture of Birdie, our mascot, bowing a little bit, all of a sudden they're in a more optimal position. And as they grow and they develop in their gross motor and fine motor control, you can start to advance that conversation. You know, we teach them grip and stance, name and posture. We just don't use that terminology. We use it in really inviting ways, in very creative ways that resonate and make sense. So it's not just all fun and play and they're playing with a puppet and an orange bird. We're actually teaching them and guiding them through the fundamentals in ways that make sense.
So it's about joy.
Oh, there's 100% joy. And it's leveraging two things that are really, really important in early childhood, and that is story. And that is play. I have never in my life met a child 8 and under that is not wired for a story filled with fantasy and imagination and adventure. And so that's what Birdie does. She brings a story every single week, and the children play through it. And it's almost as if we fool them into playing golf. We're teaching them distance control and direction and where to put their feet and how to align themselves to a target. But we're doing it in a way that really makes sense and deepens the learning environment.
Do you have your own children?
I have a 2-year and 8-month-old who is just so much fun.
Are you going to start Birdie Basics at home?
100%. I already have. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, I've already posted a bunch of his swing. he's doing really well, I would say. He's loving it.
No, I'm sorry. I haven't followed you yet. What is your name on Instagram?
Birdie_basics.
Birdie_basics. And what is your name on Twitter?
You know, it's KT Urban Golf Academy. I don't do a ton on Twitter anymore. I'm really, my biggest presence is on Instagram and LinkedIn. And of course my private Facebook group, or not my private Facebook, my personal Facebook, which now is just all about my son. And so anytime he's swinging a golf club, he's on there. That's just Kate Tempesta.
Okay. So is it okay for people to see your personal Facebook page?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be documenting his journey for sure. I mean, he will be my muse in taking this,
right,
you know, one, two, 10 steps further, for sure.
Right. And do you expect to stop at some point documenting his growth and what he's doing?
You know, he's going to be the guide. He's going to lead me, right? I'm not hell-bent on him becoming a golfer, but if he enjoys it and wants to continue to play, and I certainly hope he continues to, it would be a great way for us to spend time. But whatever he's passionate about is where I'm going. So if he decides to drop golf clubs for a little while, yes. The short answer is I plan on documenting it as long as he's driving that bus.
Right, right. I have a friend who documented his child. I mean, we saw more pictures of this young boy growing up, and then it stopped. At a certain age, it just stopped. And it was like, I understood why, because at a certain age, children just want a little anonymity. They don't want to be this, you know, it's like, don't take any more pictures of me.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That happens. Yep. They've been so overexposed. Yeah. So
are you,
when did you become passionate about early childhood education?
I've always coached early childhood sports in my, you know, my teens as a counselor. I was always working with this age group, but it wasn't until the year 2000 when I started falling in love with the idea of teaching children, and it just kind of fell in my lap. And I tried it one day a week. I was offered a gig, you know, teaching creative movement, and I quickly developed it into a 5-day a week full-time curriculum, and just it's just magical, you know. And living in New York City for 8 years at the time and kind of falling out of touch of my playful side and just kind of grinding it out in my early 20s in New York, it was just the most magical thing that ever happened to me when I was 28. And I just never looked back. I just think that they have taught me more than I could possibly ever teach them. And children are, I think, the closest thing to a higher power.
That's wonderful. Kate Tempesta's Urban Golf Academy. That's a really cool name. So what was it like? What was it like in New York for the last 2 years? How are things now?
Well, so my programs have been on pause just simply because I have moved to Connecticut. And so now I'm working on a licensing model where the schools that I was formerly at, which were 25, a combination of private and public schools, they're now going to license my curriculum and hire their own coaches. So they will become Birdie Basics members and utilize the same curriculum that I have for the past 14 years. And we'll begin, you know, continue to have a legacy in New York City. And we'll see what happens. And I'm talking to some other companies now about potentially working with me to relaunch it. But, it was super cool, like disrupting the industry and going on top of buildings in Wall Street and hitting golf balls and cafeterias on the Upper East Side.
Yes.
You know, I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of what we did with the Urban Golf Academy.
That's now your Birdie Basics and the Urban Golf Academy are separate.
Well, yeah, they're two LLCs, but ultimately the Urban Golf Academy, Birdie Basics is the curriculum that I developed in my time running the Urban Golf Academy. And the Urban Golf Academy was powered by Birdie Basics these last 5 years since I developed this licensing program. So every single coach of mine, every single child that went through the Urban Golf Academy was going through a Birdie Basics program, essentially.
Because there's special golf balls that you can use to, you know, play urban golf.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we use anything and everything. I mean, we use snag golf, short golf, birdie ball, you know, some traditional, we use traditional clubs with birdie ball. If you're not familiar with birdie ball and you're teaching young children, you definitely have to get birdie ball. You know, a little strike pad with a napkin ring, like a plastic napkin ring. You can use a traditional club with that. And I was doing that in Central Park. You know, super cool. Like, see all the tourists coming through and taking pictures. I was like, oh my God, there's a 4-year-old swinging a golf club in Central Park. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been doing this show for 22 years. And, about 10 years in, I started talking about Europe. They had this huge urban golf movement where people were literally playing through the streets of their beautiful cities.
Yeah, totally. Why not, right?
Right. I mean,
you got a stick, you got a ball, you got some golf concepts. Here's a target, here's a ball. Get it in the hole. It's great.
I'm just wondering, what's the reaction from people?
In a city?
Yeah, in the city. I mean, the people who are watching you play golf through their city. Yeah.
Oh, I every single person thought it was the coolest thing. Oh. Every single person. Yeah, yeah, for yeah. sure. I mean, and it was. I mean, you think about it. It is. I like to. I want to go down in history as the girl that, you know, the woman that played golf in Central Park, like the woman that brought golf to everywhere and anywhere in Central Park. It's something I'm most proud of.
Okay, in Europe they were going down sidewalks and streets and from building to this and
that. Yeah, we weren't doing that in Europe. That'd be a little dangerous with 4-year-olds.
Well, no, I understand, but this is, you know, all age groups were involved yeah. in the urban golf that was going on back then. So you said urban totally. Golf, and I just went right there.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't know totally. How far you went into it.
Yeah, so, no, not that far.
Not that far. So if somebody wants to find out more about licensing and birdie basics and how they can, sure. is it possible in Hawaii?
Yeah, we have one member at Kolina. Katie Manlola, she's over at Kolina. Am I saying that right? She is one of our newest licensees. She's only been with us a couple months. So, but yeah, we're over on one of the islands. And but if they want to find out, they just email me info@birdie-basics.com, and we'll get them started. But it's a pretty low investment for a very high return.
That's wonderful. Personally, yeah. and yeah, that's wonderful. Ko'olina yeah. is on Oahu, and that's the island we're on right now, broadcasting and streaming live and podcast. And then I'll share this segment as an individual piece on various platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to 4 Facebook pages, so it'll be everywhere. That's why I was trying to get as much information from you as possible. And then, so Ko'olina is on the west side of the island. Very nice, beautiful beaches. Of course, it's Hawaii. What else would there be?
Yeah.
So I'll have to get in touch with Katie. What was her last name again?
Manlola, M-A-N-L-O-L-O, I believe. Yeah, yep.
Maybe Manolo. I will find
Manolo,
out.
Yeah.
Yes, I will find out. This is great that we have a Birdie Basics. And you can go to birdiebasics.com to get more information.
Birdie-basics. Yep, yep.
Just about to say that. Is it an underscore or a dash?
It's a dash for my website. It's
okay.
A dash.
Okay. Yep. Okay. We have to make sure we get all these things right. Okay, well, I thank you. I know you've got childcare taking over while you're on the air here, and I really appreciate your time. Kate Tempesta is creator of Birdie Basics. Aloha, Kate.
Thank you so much. Take care.
We're going to come back, and we're coming in from England now. Nick Lees, the creator of Mind Swing Golf, checking in from a long, long way away. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Got my new book,
three tips to play better golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Way to go, Derek. You made it in from Honolulu, and you are getting the pitch fix. And that pitch fix is a divot repair tool, and it's kind of like a switchblade. So it has a really cool sound when you open it up, and it does a good job repairing your divot because, of course, you want to take care of the superintendent of golf. Make sure that you leave the golf course in better condition than you found it. That's the way to go. All right, I'm just counting down the seconds here because we are KORLYNI Honolulu. I think that's the most top of the hour I've ever done a top of the hour. If you'd like to play a round of golf, there is an opening for you. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:18 and 11 o'clock. Bayview has a 9:20. Makaha East, 8:42 and 8:51. It might be a little tough getting to that 8:42. Maybe if you're close by, you know, and traffic is usually not too busy at this hour going in. Wailea Gold Course, 11:50, Emerald Course, 10:30, and there's a on the Blue Course, a 9:30 and an 11:20. Kiahuna, 9:48 and 10:24. On the Big Island at Makalei, there's an 8:40 and a 10:25. I think you can make it for the 10:25. Makalei is a really cool course. It's so very different from so many of the courses that we play. I mean, all of them are gorgeous and everything, but this one's up country. This is in peacock land, you know, with big trees, and it's quite difficult. It's not an easy course to play, but it's absolutely beautiful. And particularly when it gets really, really hot again, which of course it will. Yeah, summertime is coming. Okay, so you can enjoy the cooler temperatures. Speaking of the weather forecast, let's do a mostly sunny, isolated showers, windward and Mauka. High today, 83 degrees. The winds are out of the north to northeast, so it's going to be nice and cool, 10 to 15. And then tonight they're going to be easterlies, 5 to 15. I'm going through this exercise because tomorrow we're back to the variable winds, 5 to 15 miles per hour. And they stay that way through Monday. And then Tuesday we'll get some northeasterlies. And I think the forecast calls for some wonderful rainfall, which we could definitely use. We have some really exciting stuff going on. Before our next guest calls in from the UK, and I'm waiting to hear from, oh, he's in already. Oh, great. Then I don't have to draw this out. But I want to tell you, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii, 14 and under, they're all playing Maui Nui Golf Course today and tomorrow. And I'm really excited that this group, excuse me, I'm losing my voice for a second. Okay, I think I'm back. We may need to take a break quick before we come back. Anyway, the young man, Leo Saito, he's one of many. In fact, I should probably say Kate Nakaoka, Sasha Chunsalem, Sydney Fuke. They're playing at 11 or 12 o'clock. 12:08, it's Ava Kawaihara and Mia Nakaoka, Teya Chumley, all going out. We just got this really great field. And Leo Saito is also playing. He's in the 11 and 12 year plus. Now, when he was 10 last year, he qualified for the Drive Chip Putt Tournament. He's going to be one of 80 players qualified for that Drive Chip Putt Tournament at Augusta National. Leo Saito on his way from the Big Island, and he's the first Hawaii boy to qualify for the event since its inception. We'll be back. We're going to England right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghoff, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, yes, welcome back. I still have a voice. It's a wonderful thing. Mind Swing is about passion and playing to your potential, not the potential that you believe you possess, but your true potential. And frequently, the two are different. What you believe about yourself and what your true potential, you can see how that can collide, right? Yeah, especially if you've had it tough. Welcome into the clubhouse, Nick Lees, creator of Mind Swing Golf.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Where are you calling in from, Nick?
Yeah, I'm calling in from Leeds. Yorkshire, UK.
Yes. Now, what's the weather like in Leeds?
Well, I was just listening to the weather report before I came on, and you're talking about welcome rain. We've got plenty of rain. It's cold. It's wet. It's windy. It is not pleasant at all. And in fact, my own golf game was cancelled yesterday because the greens were waterlogged. So I'm not happy. Not happy at all.
No.
Anyway, it's just good to be here. Good to be on the show.
It's good to have you.
Good to be talking to you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I'm gonna share something with you really quick, okay? We have created an incredible pipeline for gas. We've created an incredible pipeline for fuel, for oil. We have pipes going all over the place. I'm certain that somebody has the wherewithal to create pipelines from, you know, there's all this rain coming down in this part of the world. Let's pipe it to the place where they don't have any water. I mean, it doesn't have to be, right? I mean, I don't know. They can filter it. Don't stop yourself from believing in what you can do, because we can go to the Mars. We can go to the moon. We can go to the planets.
Absolutely.
Right?
We can do anything we put our mind to. Yet belief is fundamental. If you believe it, you can see it. People say that, you know, the saying is, seeing is believing. But I actually believe, really quite passionately, that it's the other way around. Believing is seeing. We've got to feel it, we've got to believe it inside before we can then create it externally. So it applies to anything. Golf obviously is what I do, but we can do it that way. So you're right. You know, you could pipe water anywhere. I'm sure someone could come up with a plan.
Yes, exactly. I mean, what does it take? We've got all these people getting flooded in one part of the world, like the East Coast of the United States, and in the West, where, you know, is our breadbasket, they don't have any water. And, you know, they're running out of water. Yep. So L.A. needs water. So, you know, San Francisco. So pipe it in.
Yeah, but of course, you know, it all comes down to money, doesn't it?
Well,
yeah, but you know, yes. Those involved, if they're not going to make enough money out of it, however important or beneficial it is for the people, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Power of believing in yourself. Let's get back to that statement, the opening statement from Mindswing. Okay. Mindswing is about passion and playing to your potential, not the potential that you believe you possess, but your true potential. And frequently, the two are different. This is an incredible sentence. Tell me what you mean.
We've been brought up with a range of beliefs. Some are positive, some are not so positive. But we tend to have a range of limiting beliefs that hold us back. So part of our foundations, the way we think, it'll kind of then project how we act. So if we have a belief that we maybe are not quite good enough to achieve something, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Excuse me. So we end up producing the results that we believe that we're capable of producing. So if we're able to change those limiting beliefs, if we're able to replace them with ones that are more constructive and more supportive of achieving incredible things, we will achieve them. So, and it's happened so often. There are so many stories of people who've achieved things that were believed not to be possible. And even going back to 1953 and Roger Bannister and the 4-Minute Mile, it was believed to be impossible. But he then went and did it. And then when he did it, people then believed it was possible. Then more people did it. So, you know, you can apply it to anything. And once we learn more about how our mind works, what our capabilities are, what our potential is, and we learn strategies to do it, amazing things can happen.
How do we people who have been raised with limiting thoughts, the things that limit them, cause them to believe they're not capable of, how do you change that mindset?
We need to be able to, it's a cause and effect thing. So much of the world focuses on the effect, the external side of it. You know, if you want to play great golf, you know, you go to a golf coach, you know, you take swing lessons, you practice, you do lots of physical stuff, lots of behaviors, because then you believe you'll get the results. Now, but underpinning all that is your mind. And first of all, there's your conscious mind. Obviously, the conscious mind is what you're aware of, and that's filled with lots of thoughts, beliefs, but that's kind of informed by your unconscious mind, which is beneath that, which is obviously unconscious. You know, we're not aware of it. And in there are all these rules, values, beliefs, all our memories, all the decisions that we made in the past. And it creates this kind of blueprint or template, which informs our conscious thoughts, which then informs our beliefs, and therefore our results. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to get to the cause, which is the unconscious mind.
And how do we get there?
As a psychologist, you're able to do it, but we're not taught how to do it, and we can do it by a whole range of techniques, which at the end of the day involve changing our brainwaves, lowering our brainwaves from our normal everyday state, and we've not mentioned flow yet, because flow basically is what Mind Swing is all about. Because flow is our peak performance state. It's where we feel our best, perform our best. It's where we shoot great golf shots more consistently, shoot lower scores, and have more fun. We've all experienced it, but we can't do it on a consistent basis. So what we've learned, what we've discovered in recent years through a whole range of amazing technology, you know, fMRI scanners, electroencephalographs, neurofeedback technology, that we're actually using a different part of the brain when we're in our peak performance state. Our normal everyday state, our conscious awareness, we operate from our prefrontal cortex, the front part of the brain. But when we're in flow, when we're in our peak performance state, when we're doing amazing things, that actually goes quiet. It goes offline. And another part of the brain is able to step to the fore. And we know that there are different brainwave frequencies involved. So we need to learn, we need to retrain the brain to be able to access this phenomenal space. Something called neuroplasticity occurs. But when we're in this state, we can change things. the hard wiring that we kind of feel stuck by with our various beliefs about things, our limiting beliefs, when we're in this, and it's an altered state of awareness, you know, we can make changes. So this is basically one of the fundamental aspects of what I do. I help people make changes which are in alignment with what they want, what their potential truly is. So one of my first steps is to help people understand that, you know, this is possible. Because if they don't believe it, it's not going to happen. So if I can help them to believe the amazing things that can happen, you know, they can shoot sub 70 rounds, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. You know, they can take the handicap from 20 down to single figures. They can get down to scratch. They can do what might be believed or perceived to be impossible. It can be done. So this is my passion. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I know we haven't got that long to talk about it. I could talk to you for about 2 hours plus, because I just get so excited, because I know what's possible. And when people embrace it, when people have an open mind, in psychology we call it a growth mindset, when we have that kind of willingness to be open to new ideas, then we can create amazing things.
Yes.
And I decided, I think I mentioned to you in something I wrote to you earlier, that you know, I decided I needed to walk my own talk. That as well as sharing this with others and teaching others, which I've done for 20 years, I decided, you know, after I'd recovered from nearly dying from cancer, that I wanted to walk my talk and become the best golfer I could be, to kind of show people. You know, talk's cheap, isn't it? We can all talk stuff. Yeah, but I've got my handicap down in 2 years from 15 to 3.
Wow.
And I intend to get down to scratch by the end of this season. Oh. And I'm doing it because I'm applying what I teach. But also, it's not just about me, because our potential is a combination of the physical, technical mastery and mental mastery. We have to combine the two. So I think I've probably got the mental mastery side reasonably well taped. If I haven't, then there's something wrong. But I realised that from a technical point of view, I was poor. I'd never had golf lessons. So what I've done to kind of fill the gap, to complete the equation, is I'm taking golf lessons. It's having a huge impact. So it's kind of combining the two, technical mastery and mental mastery. And for me, and I know from all the people I kind of share it with, you have so much more fun. You have a strategy to go onto the golf course, apply what you know, to relax, because the brain loves the process. And when we've got a process set in place, we know what steps we're going to follow, pre-shot, shot, post-shot, whatever it might be, then we can relax. We're not wasting energy thinking about doubting and thinking about permutations and options and things that we could or shouldn't do, and focusing on, you know, mistakes that we made last week on the same hole. We're just focusing on our process. And freedom and letting go and being able to relax, that's where we get into flow. We can get our brain in the right state, and, you know, the magic happens. When we're stressed, it's the opposite.
We're often stressed. If I just may interject here, we're often stressed by our own thinking, stinking thinking.
Absolutely.
Yes, because we talk to ourselves. We talk to ourselves, and we talk ourselves out of things. We talk ourselves into things. Sometimes they're not good things to be talked into, but we're going to try it anyway. When you stop thinking and you just do, that's when you're successful. I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about flow. When you stop thinking through everything, then you are in a flow state. Now, doing this show, there are days when I don't have to think about anything, and everything flows. Now, there are days when things don't go quite as planned, and that is when the brain has to come in and go, oh,
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's frustrating, because flow was historically seen as a lightning strike situation. It was unpredictable. You'd never know when you get into it. And I love the Billy Mayfair story from the 2001 Buick Open. And he shot 27 on the back nine on Sunday. And he had just an amazing, you know, nine holes. And when he was interviewed afterwards, he said, It was a surreal experience. The holes were the size of bathtubs, and it felt like another him had taken over. And all he had to do was keep out of his own way. And that's a perfect description because, you know, it is another part of the brain that's kicking in. So it does feel like it's another you, another me. And it's incredible. So my passion has been able to help people get into this state when they need to. You know, for that the only golf shot that they've got, the one in front of them. And it's been a blast.
God,
I'm having a fantastic time. And it's gone crazy because people are now becoming more aware of it. You know, in the past, you know, I've mentioned flow, and I kind of get blank expressions. You know, people are saying, what? But now, particularly with people like Colin Marikawa, you know, what he's done in the past year has just been mind-blowing. You know, to have won majors, to have got to where he's got in such a short period of time at a young age. And a big part of it is flow. His coach, Rick Sessinghaus, you know, has been working with Colin since Colin was 8 years old. But flow really is part of Colin's makeup, part of his being. So for him, it's natural. So when he gets into tough situations, you know, on the back nine of the British Open, and when it's tight, when there are other things involved, he's just able to step back and focus on his process. And it makes such a difference. There's so many stories of people kind of choking, you know, when they get into kind of stressful situations and they get out of the space that they were in, and, you know, they don't have a strategy to be able to get back into that place. So I'm just... One thing that's really blown my mind just in the past few months is the receptiveness of golfers in the US to what I'm doing. You know, I'm in the UK. I have worked and lived all over the world. I worked in the US. But in the UK, there's a kind of, I don't know, a skepticism. But talking to people in the US, they're just so open. And they realize that we're onto something big here. And I'm talking to some amazing guys, amazing academies all over the States, but one particularly in Texas. And you know, I'm working with these young players, and it's phenomenal. And you know, I feel like you know, kindred spirits. It's just really exciting.
You need to tell me, Nick.
To be able to come on your show and share it with you.
Yeah. Nick, you need to share with us how to get in touch with you if someone's triggered and interested. The name is Nick Lees, L-E-E-S. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's perfect, yes.
Okay.
Yes. The main thing, the main place is my website, which is mindswing.io.
Mindswing.io?
No golf, no, just mindswing.
Oh, mindswing.
That's a dot. So, yeah, dot I-O.
Okay, mindswing.io.
No, just the dot, I-O, yes. Not .com, dot I-O.
Right, dot I-O, which is, you know, everybody's going, what? Dot I-O? Never heard of dot I-O.
What is... Probably just my English accent.
It's no, but it is. It's like M-I-N-D... mindswing.io.
Yes.
Yay.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of free stuff on there, so people can check out videos. I've got a 5-video kind of section, which is kind of basic golf psychology 101 about things that ruin people's golf rounds. I've got a section on, you know, mind power basics, just to help people kind of get a bit more of an insight. So obviously then if they want to find out more, obviously there is. But for me, it's all about creating a framework, you know, a kind of a foundation upon which everything else sits, on which you can kind of rely on time and time again. If it's pre-round, it's the round, it's post-round, but obviously it's the shot, pre-shot, shot, and post-shot. And it's not rocket science, but when we get into flow, it gets a bit more involved because we're talking about brain waves. But the basic foundation is really quite straightforward. And I find a number of people will do the kind of the first step of my main program, and they find it's enough for them. They'll get great results. They'll be happy. You know, they're probably working. They're busy. They've got families. They play golf once or twice a week. And that's enough for them. And that's great. So I've kind of divided it into subsections so people can take on board, you know, as much or as little as they want. And I suppose the other thing I just wanted to share was I also am teaching people, golf coaches, to become mind swing coaches. So they can share the first level of this with their students.
Nice.
Because obviously I'm human. You know, I've only got 24 hours a day. There are only so many hours a day I can do this. So you know, there's the online program, but I'm also teaching swing coaches to be able to share this with their students. And that's going really well. We've set up our first Mind Swing Academy in the Middle East, in Qatar, Doha, an amazing golf complex called Education City Golf Club. You know, they host the European Tour Qatar Masters every year, and they've got an amazing center of excellence, and their swing coaches have become mind swing coaches. So they spot students, club members that they're teaching, who are receptive to taking it to the next stage with the mind side of it. So that's when we're introducing mind swing, and it's almost like it's the final piece. You know, golfers, you know, they've got the right equipment, you know, they have lessons, they practice, but for some reason they're not quite doing it on the course. They're not taking it to the course the way they could, should, and know deep in the hearts that they can. So what Mind Swing is doing is it is providing that final piece.
It's wonderful.
You don't have to be a scratch golfer, an elite golfer, amateur, professional, single figures. Anyone can do it. You know, a beginner, you know, a high handicapper. You know, it's something that anyone with the open-mindedness and desire to improve can take on board.
So you're bringing flow to a wider audience. I was just going
to
ask
masses.
You about yes,
yes,
to the masses.
Yes.
I like what you wrote. I had what I subsequently was to discover a flow state. He's playing a round of golf, right? And he says it lasted the whole round. I shot my first ever sub 70, a 69. I was in shock. I hadn't a clue what had happened, and I was not able to repeat it. So if you've ever been in that position, you know, you've done something phenomenal, and you go back to the course. You had a great day. You go back to the course. You go, God, I just wish I could. What happened to my game? May not have anything to do with you physically, unless, of course, you were out late and you were, you know, partying, and now you're tired. It could have a lot to do with what's right upstairs about, you know, things happen. So very interesting. It's been really nice meeting you and really good talking to you.
You too.
Mindswing.io. Really simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Mindswing.io. And I thank you for being on the show. I'm going to thank the people who make it possible. So good to talk to you. This is the one and only, the man who survived cancer, even though he was down to like 100 pounds. I saw a picture of Nick. Incredible. I'm so glad you're still with us. Nick Lees, creator of Mind Swing. Aloha. Okay, let's thank the people who make this show possible. First off, we are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. And the best way to get good at this game is to learn from a PGA, a PGA of America member. It takes a lot of time and love of the game to become a PGA because they love the game and they love teaching. Get in touch with your local PGA. You'll find them at the golf course and some in other places, okay? Just need to reach out to the Aloha section. The Aloha Power Equipment Mega Store grand opening is coming, yes. But in the meantime, they are stocked up. Aloha Power Equipment's new Mega Store, next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Ivilay. You'll find all of the Aloha section equipment you count on. Yes, indeed. Riding mowers, robotic mowers. Go, robot, mow. Chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their mega store on Alakava next door to the Costco gas station. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. There goes my voice again. I'm getting too excited. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. You need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day or night. MD. So if disaster has struck your home or your office, call MD Restoration. Licensed contractors, they'll do the cleanup for you, and they can repair whatever's been destroyed or damaged. Their number is 528-3434. You can always listen to the show at radiogolfclub.com/listen. That's where the live stream is. It's also where the podcast is. Or you can go to anywhere where you get your podcasts, including Audio Boom. I want to thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. We are at radiogolfclub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.